It's a special NFL draft edition of The Boss
and The Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Free All Deep Penetrating Oil. Look for the silver can in stores or visit freealloil.com.
Now, live from Las Vegas, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back from Las Vegas, and we are delighted to have Spencer Tillman join us. Spencer, welcome to the show. You're on with David and Carla.
Great to be with you guys. So you guys are in Las Vegas, huh? How close are you to Nobu down at Caesars?
Very close. We're across the street. And believe me, I saw that Nobu sign and said, I know where I'm going after the draft tonight, for sure.
All right. Fair enough. I could have moseyed over there.
Yeah, it's fantastic to be here. And great to have you on with us, Spencer Tillman, NFL and College Football Network television analyst. And I was bragging to Carla, you are one of those few people in this world who have a ring from the NFL, world champion ring, Super Bowl ring, and you've got one from college football with your days in Oklahoma. You've got both the college and NFL rings.
Yeah, last time I checked, I think there was about maybe 112 guys, I think, that ever accomplished that before. So it's a small club, man, but it's one that you're fortunate to be a part of. And, you know, but that's a turnstile environment. They forget really quickly, David.
Humility is your gift, Spencer. I will say that.
All right, but we remember here. Okay, I wanted to ask you first about the Texans because, of course, you are in Houston and you cover the Texans and would love to hear what you'd like to see them do with their two picks.
Well, you know, listen, everybody's kind of got their attention focused on those hot positions that on the offensive side make things work, you know, but obviously they've settled in on Davis Mills as their quarterback. I think he's going to be the guy. I mean, if you look back at the history, I think the path is prologue. If Lovie Smith can go and compete for a Super Bowl championship with, Rex Grossman, you know, you can do better with, and Rex Grossman is nowhere near what Davis Mills was as a quarterback. So in terms of skill set, and they were relying on defense. Now we can make the argument that the Texans defense is nowhere close to what those Bears defense were, but I will say this. I'm intrigued by Cal Hamilton. I really believe that the safety out of Notre Dame got great size. He's 6'4", 220 pounds. A lot of people aren't talking about him. But when you lose Justin Reed to free agency, he was a really a catalytic player there on the back end that allowed Lovey to be as aggressive with that his version of a Tampa 2 type scheme where you're playing a safety that you can bring down and be more aggressive around the line of scrimmage. And if you don't have a guy that size and who has got the kind of range, you're limited in what you can do on the defensive side of the ball. So, you know, we can sit here and speculate all day about what they're going to do, but in terms of value, in terms of what I think is the need is, the match for me would be a Cal Hamilton at safety.
And Spencer, does it give you any cause to pause with Hamilton that his numbers, his combine numbers, his pro day numbers, he didn't test very well. They were not top five numbers. That doesn't give you any cause to pause. You think he's 6'4". This is unusual. I like his tape. That trumps it for you?
Well, listen, Carl, that's a very wise way to look at things. The NFL, as you know, is really about projecting what is forward. You know, if you can satisfy the idea that, hey, look, this was an anomaly, or there's a justification, private room without consequences. Maybe he's articulated something that gives you the ability to reason away why he had that poor deal. Now, you do raise a very significant point. If you can't nail down a tenable reason why you had that off number and that day was bad like it was, that's a problem. That's a gamble. But the NFL is about projecting where you will be in the future. And to me, he's that type of guy that projects long and positive.
Yeah, I love that, Spencer. Let me ask you this. Leadership, we don't talk about it a lot in the NFL draft. We're all about the numbers, all about the stats. You were captain of the national championship team at OU. You were a co-captain with Joe Montana with the Super Bowl-winning 49ers in season 24. How much does leadership factor into these draft decisions by teams, and how much should it? I mean, you've been there, boots on the ground. Give us the tea.
Well, there's a lot of reasons why, and I'll try to keep this brief. You know, I'm a big-time proponent of leadership. It's the attribute in greatest demand yet shortest supply. And you hear people say that a lot, but oftentimes there's a disconnect between what you see done on draft day versus what the coaches actually tend to go toward, and that's just the most available athletic specimen on that roster, right, or that's available at the time. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but you sure can go wrong if you get a guy that maybe not as good as you thought he was, but is a horrible character guy. You can really go wrong with that kind of situation because that affects his dedication, his commitment. And when you get a clown in the locker room, I'm telling you that you turn everything into a circus, and you can't really change the other way around. You're talking about cultures, and in a league that's designed to be balanced, you know, how can you have the Texans be playing in the playoffs 1 year, 2 years, and then the next year you're 4-13 or whatever it is, mm-hmm. and you're third in the draft. So you gotta understand that leadership is important, and you gotta do more than just give lip service to it. I think it's the most significant thing that you can have going in a league that's designed to create balance. And so the leadership is what ultimately separates, in my opinion.
We're talking to Spencer Tillman. Spencer, you played running back for a long time. Love to ask you about the running backs in this draft. Who stands out to you?
Well, I don't know if there's anybody that stands out to me per se. I mean, this is not the running back draft heavy type of situation where you were looking for one. I just don't have one that drops out. You know, Oklahoma State always produces good running backs. Iowa State produces good running backs. Both of them have got entries in this year, but I just don't see any head and shoulders running back. Iowa's got a great one that's in there, but I don't see, and I've had Iowa this year. I had them a number of times. But Isaiah, I don't see some of those guys that are out there that has proven historically that they're the type of guy that you hang your hat on. Now, I will say this. We've devalued running backs over the years, and there's a reason for that, because we're spread oriented teams now. We're in that era. As about maybe 12 years was the inflection point. We are now fully in an era where we've got running backs is kind of a tertiary thought, but the receivers, you know, Devontae Smith is one that comes to mind more recently, was not the prototypical guy. Heisman Trophy winner, but he's thin, he's small, he's super lean, but yet he winds up getting selected. Why? Because you're in a spread era. So I just think running backs are going to be devalued anymore, and I just don't see anybody that I would put up there, even in the discussion, to be worthy of being an elite guy. Now, you had one a couple of years ago, you know, in Taylor out of Wisconsin, but this year I just don't see that guy.
Well, you're certainly not alone in that opinion. Yeah, the running backs are not mocked to go in the first round, so it'll be intriguing to watch how that unfolds. So you mentioned Hamilton on the defensive side of the ball as somebody who stands out to you. What about on the offensive side of the ball? Whom do we need to be looking for tonight?
Well, I will tell you this. One thing that intrigues me is when you're looking at offensive linemen, I know that Lovie Smith, the defensive-oriented guy. But when I look at Laremy Tunsil on the offensive line for the Texans, I would just salivate to have a complimentary part
like
a Charles Frost at Mississippi State with him to kind of build and protect this quarterback if you decided is going to be your guy. So if you got a Charles Ross or somebody like that, an offensive tackle, now the only question mark you have with Charles is, you know, when you're playing for the Mad Scientist, you're going to be slinging the ball, you know, 90% of the time. What kind of a run blocker is he? And you know that Lovie's going to want to run the ball. They're going to have to play that style until they get another complimentary wide receiver to complement what they have right now, because I just don't think they have enough offensive weapons there. But to protect their quarterback in the wind and with long ball and playing these 14, 17, 21, 24 type games, you're going to have an offensive lineman that can protect and also can run block. And if you've got that in Charles Cross, I think, to me, that's intriguing. It's an outlier pick for me, but I do like it because you asked about offensive linemen or offensive players. To me, that makes me salivate a little bit.
What about this receiver class? Who do you like?
Well, you know, Garrett Wilson, I love him, the wide receiver out of Ohio State. You know, Ohio State had an embarrassment of riches this past year.
Yeah.
As wide receiver, just had so many of them. But, you know, to me, he's the one that really popped out in terms of his overall athletic skill, his talent, his ability to stretch the field, all of those things, route running, all of it. It puts him up at an elite level. James Williams out of Alabama, he's another one out. And it's really weird how over the last couple of years, Alabama has kind of morphed into this program that's producing wide receivers. Before then, it was Derrick Henry and his group a few years back, and they were cranking out running backs. And then it was defensive backs, linebackers. If you want to go back further than that, when he was with the Texans, you know, the Miko Collins and some of the linebackers that Nick Saban was known for producing, they really have covered the bases and producing everything. And so they're back into the wide receiver department right now. But I think that Williams is one guy that I think also he's a junior wide receiver. He's got great range, 179 pounds, a little bit slight, but he's 6'2", and that's what you really want, a guy with a huge catch radius, but a guy that can make a difference on the offensive side of the ball. To me, that would be a great weapon to complement what you got in Davis Mills, because I think you've got in Cooks an opposite guy, a vertical speed guy, and then get somebody else who's going to make them come out of those cover two schemes and go with a single high look that they can rotate over to double one of those two guys. Because even if you've got two good wide receivers, but you're not going to throw to them, I'm going to gamble a little bit and play more cover two on you so that you don't really get those vertical stretches. So I think he's an asset, But it just depends on how you choose to play your offensive brand of ball. And I don't think the Texans are going to lead, even with Pep Hamilton back there and understanding his background as a guru offensively. I just don't see them letting the offense lead this thing. I think they're going to play more of a small ball approach.
We're talking to Spencer Tillman, who's joining us here on the Progressive Insurance guest line. So, Spencer, Baker Mayfield went to your college, went to OU, and now is a bit off track here, and he's likely to get traded over the next few days. What do you think is the prognosis for Baker Mayfield's career right now?
Well, listen, in a private room without consequences, you know, David, you've known me for a long time. You don't have to put an asterisk by my comment. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm an analyst. I say what I see. I think Baker's in trouble. You know, Baker's had the perfect situation with the right people, kind of like a poor man's version of what maybe you had with Joe Burrow when he came from Ohio State, went to LSU, got the perfect offensive coordinator, everything aligned up. You win a national championship. Here's a guy that couldn't even make the roster three deep at Ohio State. Well, in Baker Mayfield, you get a great offensive mind. Despite having going through three different coordinators, you still have a plethora of talent around you that carries you, and yet you don't have great speed, you don't have great height, you don't have a howitzer for an arm, and that's the difficult truth. I love him. I'm an OU guy, but I'm an analyst. I say what I see. If you see an appreciable drop in his overall game and value from year over year, it will be probably one of the most prolific drops and precipitous drops year over year in performance at that position that we've seen in a long time at quarterback.
Spencer, I love that. That is a great analysis. And I'm curious, as a former player and a competitor, so a lot of analysts are saying, yeah, but he had a shoulder injury last year. I'm like, hey, he's the leader of this franchise. If he had a shoulder injury, don't go inside the hashtags. If you don't think you can put your best self out there, don't do it. Or is that a naive opinion and I should be like, well, you do all that you can, beat up or not? Where do you fall out on that?
Listen, you nailed it right there. I mean, look, you're basically qualifying yourself out of taking that gamble. If you're putting a shoulder injury on top of that and those numbers and those measurables, it's almost like being drafted. Would you draft Baker Mayfield right now? Granted, he's not coming off a Heisman Trophy year. You don't have all those assets around you. All of that. Just looking at his naked numbers. And it's really interesting that you framed it that way. I live next door in Houston, in Sugarland, to a conductor. And Maurice is one of the greatest conductors around in the world, actually. And he introduced me to the concept of blind auditions. And he said, well, Spencer, the NFL needs to do what we do. He says, we don't even hear. If I want a violinist that's vying for a first chair, I don't even know them. I don't see them. I'm listening to them. They're behind a curtain. And all I want to do is look at the tonality. I want to hear them, how they follow direction. I want to hear that. And that's all I need. That's the asset. If you're looking at the raw numbers of a Baker Mayfield right now, I don't pull that trigger. Because there's something that just does not work for me. And that's unless you have a perfect storm where you get all of the complimentary parts that you had there at Cleveland and you can duplicate that again. If you don't have that, I don't make that gamble.
I agree.
Great stuff. He's Spencer Tillman. Spencer, really appreciate your joining us here on Draft Day.
Anytime, guys. Take care. Love you, mean it.
Okay, thank you. Bye.